100 Word Stories. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the 100 Word Stories podcast. I'm your host, Lawrence Simon. I swore an oath to write a 100 word story every day until the day I die. It's right there on the domain name. Well, I'm not dead yet, and neither are you. Let's write and share what we come up with. Because today is Sunday, which means it's your turn. I call this crazy thing the weekly challenge, where I post the topic and you come up with the stories. The topic this week was mustard. We got a lot of stories this week, so let's go ahead and get right to it. First up, we got one from David Forbes. Sends one in here. I think you one of the fine folks over at Empire Avenue or something like that. All I got was a story, so maybe he's a man of mystery. So here is David Forbes, man of mystery. I have never understood why ketchup is so popular with fries. I use mustard instead when the ketchup is specifically made or organic. It's funny that both ketchup and mustard are standard on burgers and hot dogs, but not so much on fries. Ketchup usually has sugar in it, by the way, whereas most mustards don't. For sweet mustard, the sugar is usually something tasteful, like honey. So mustard rarely is high fructose corn syrup, but unlike the typical brand of ketchup. Do me a favor, would you? The next time you find yourself ready to grab that bottle of red stuff, reach instead for the yellow. And enjoy the sour, the hot, the sweet, the Dijon, whatever. Take your pick. Thank you, David. And, hey, next time, give recording it a shot. I've got some links to various recording sites, or if you got one of them iPhone thingies, I've got myself one of these iPhone 5s. There's a recording app built right in, but you can also pay some money to get a recording app that's just the same. I never understood that app store. People just want to spend money. Click, 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 I get money. Ooh, I've got birds that are angry. All right. We got ourselves more new folks in the mix here. We've got Rick. Rick? Hold on. Wait, does he say that his name is Rick? Oh, yeah. Rick Thomas. They're from Fort Myers. His link is up in the thing. Some people don't send in anything about who they are. This guy? Everything right there.
I've even got his phone number.
No, what am I going to do with a phone number? I never call anyone. Oh, you've got all the free minutes you want. Great. I don't call anyone. Whatever. That's what the phone is for. It's for emailing, not for the phone. You set sail on a boat that doesn't have sails, you know? Weigh anchor on a boat that doesn't have an anchor, just drifts everywhere. Where'd you park the boat? Oh, I'm getting off topic again. Here's Rick, voiced by me. Blue crab is the pride of Southern Maryland. There's five parts to a crab: claw meat, leg meat, body meat, shell, and the mustard. The meat is all good. The shell don't pose no real problems if you know what you're doing, but that mustard is some nasty stuff. The mustard is the renderings of everything in a crab you'd never want to eat. Heart, lungs, guts, and feces, all cooked into a greasy yellow paste. If you're smart, you'll clean out that mustard first thing. If you're lazy, maybe a little mustard is acceptable. If you're mean, you tell the Yankees it's where the flavor comes from. You shot Jeter! Why couldn't you have shot A-Rod? Oh, no, sorry. Thank you, Rick. And I do crab cakes, but I don't do crabs. Okay, so that's kind of weird, because I just did crawdads on Friday, but I don't do crabs. It's weird. You know, I'm able to pick those apart because they're tiny, and you barely register that they were once alive and crawling all over you in your sleep. No, wait. It was the first time that I'd done crawdads since Naruto died. It was weird not bringing home tails for him. Oh, he loved those. He loved those crawdad tails. He was just like, nearly took my fingers off. Speaking of taking your fingers off, be careful when wiggling your fingers around Mousy Walker. You may lose a finger or two. No. So Lee here said, I was telling a friend of mine about your weekly story challenge. She loved the idea. She'd like to give it a try. Oh, no, she's not allowed. Sorry. Oh, okay, just this one time. Just, right. She's really excited about it. Well, I guess I need to do this one without screwing up. Uh-oh. The pressure's on me now. I mean, I don't want to ruin someone's excitement. Okay. Deep breath, and Mousy Walker. Waking from my nap is glorious. The sunshine coming through the curtains feels like warm sparkles. My eyes open to see soft blues and happy yellows, hints of cottony pink on my blankie. Poby is right beside me, snuggling my face as I greet the afternoon. He's my Poby because he's white and soft. Hey, Poby, what's this? Something squishy and warm. It's pretty, like Big Bird. I know. Let's do like Mama showed us and make our hands, Poby. Swish yours up and down like the sun. Daddy and Mama come in. Is that mustard? It smells like... Oh, yeah. I've woken up to that, too. Ugh. Speaking of another thing I don't miss about Naruto. Yeah, Mr. Barf Bucket. Oh, well. At least the baby panthers know enough to barf on the floor. That way you step in it, instead of wake up and... Oh, God, I don't want to... Oh, thank you, Mousy Walker. Come back, please. Let's see. We've got one from Steven the Nuclear Kid. Mm-hmm. He didn't record it, though. Man, I'm just reading them all today. I'm getting a vocal workout. That's okay. It'll get better. Someone will send a sound file in eventually, I think. Well, let's hear what Chris the Nuclear Kid has. The Perfect Hot Dog by Chris the Nuclear Kid. Ingredients: hot dogs, buns, mustard, relish, ketchup, and cheese. Step 1. Cook the hot dogs on a skillet at medium heat until slightly crisped and hot. Step 2. Place the desired number of buns on a plate and put a slice of cheese in each. Step 3. Place hot dogs and buns, one per bun. Step 4. Add the desired amount of relish. Step 5. Add the desired amount of ketchup. Step 6. Add desired amount of mustard. Step 7. Add a side of chips. Step 8. Add a desired drink. Step 9. Enjoy your fine hot dog creation and try new things. Thank you, Chris the Nuclear Kid. May all of your mustards be happy. We need to come up with a blessing. A blessing upon your mustard, no matter what kind of mustard it is. We can make a whole radio show with that. I am Father Yellow. Blessings upon your mustard. Oh, such variety. Nah. You know, long ago I did a character, Mustard Man, in the... This is all the way back from, what, 2005? Wow. I've done one or two since then, but not really. It just... Character just... I played it out. Mustard Man and Dijon Lad. They were company mascots. They were not everyone thought they were superheroes, but they were just company mascots. So they'd be walking around, people, help, help, the bank's being robbed. And they'd be, ooh, thank goodness I don't keep my money there. I thought you were a superhero. Nope, nope, just a company mascot. Here, have a promotional sample. That could be, ooh, Patrick Warburton could be Mustard Man. That could be fun. All right, let's continue with more stories. Someone recorded one. How did that happen? Jeffrey Fisher is back, so let's listen. He was watching the Alabama Notre Dame, and he had written and recorded, but had forgotten to actually send me the story. Okay. Well, dang. The podcast is clearly more important than the national title game. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll play it.
Hello, 100 word podcast listeners. Jeffrey Fisher here with my take on that dangerous seed, mustard. Dangerous, you say? Damn right it's dangerous. Ever since that Grey Poupon ad years back, I can't take my Rolls Royce out for a spin without some idiot trying to drive within an arm's length of me, usually on the wrong side of the road. Anyway, this week's story is called Perspective. Barbara heard the rattle of a knife at the bottom of an empty jar. She cringed as she waited for the angry voice. Barbara, you worthless bitch, we're out of mustard. How am I supposed to make a sandwich without mustard? Jim had always had a short fuse, but lately his tantrums had become more frequent. He exploded at the slightest frustration, often accompanying his torrent of verbal abuse with a good smack or two. This time, instead of digging into the pantry to check for a new jar, Barbara pulled her .38 special from her purse, checking the chamber to ensure that it was loaded. Maybe Jim needed to rethink how important mustard was to his well-being.
Yes, I agree it is dangerous. It's very dangerous. So thank you, Jeffrey, for warning people about how dangerous it is. You know what's even more dangerous? You know those boxes of microwave bacon? Why do they bother with a zip seal on the end of it? It just, you're going to eat them all. You can eat them all in one sitting. I mean, one, two. I have no control. None whatsoever. Cannot resist. Ooh, are we going to do a bacon topic eventually? I used to have a box of bacon. I need to buy more. So, who's next? Zach Mann. And Zach Mann appears to have two stories. Not one. Two. So, let's go ahead and roll those with the beautiful mustard footage.
What is this? It is a container of mustard seed. Father, why do we have mustard seed? The same reason we have a bread box, son. Dad, how do you put bread into a mustard seed? Well, son, no one really needs a box to put bread in anymore. But so many people use that expression, is it bigger than a bread box? We needed one so you children would know how big one is. And there is that Bible verse about faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. Therefore, I bought a container of mustard seed. How is the restaurant business going, manager? Great, the black and white ad from the Penny Saver is working well. We really have a lot more customers with that gray coupon. The thing is, I promised the owner's wife that I would reduce the amount of salt he eats, but he loves mustard, so I would add some vinegar and water to his favorite condiment. I had an easy time when he had poor eyesight, but his laser surgery worked really well. Now he sees everything, and it really bothers me that I can't cut the mustard anymore.
You know my favorite part of the Zach Mann movie series that just recently ended? He's holding a dude over the ledge and saying, who are you? I'm Zach Mann. And then he lets him go. It is so tense. What? Oh, thank you, Zach Mann. Please don't hang me over a ledge. We got Kirill. He's new to this. He's the mad Macedonian, and he also, Nikita Cat, and lots of cats. We went to the cat show last week. It was fun. It was fun. We got to see cats. And he held this gigantic Maine Coon. I mean, those things are big. And they look up at you like, yeah, I could eat you. And they're like, I don't, whatever. Worship me. Those are some big damn cats. It would be fun to get a gigantic cat like that and then a normal-sized cat and just, you know, watch the two. It would be like, ah! Giant beast! Although, Piper around, Edla was 25 pounds. Piper was about 8. And it's a tiny little baby cat. It's just, you know, big monster. Boom, 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 the tank. Although, Maine Coons are not, you know, fat balls. They're just big. It'd be cool to have one of those. Great, now I'm going to say, hey, baby panthers, look, it's the dishwasher. Go in there and then run in. Oh, no, they drowned. And went, be good. It's like, yay. No one ever, you know, abandons Maine Coons. That would be just evil. They're like the big, loving, big floppy mops and, you know, that would be just mean. Oh, well. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, this is Kirill's story. Life is like a package of hot dogs. You can choose what type of dog to eat, but the number in your pack may vary. When you eat your hot dog, you can put a variety of mustard on it, even wrap it in a bun, or do something corny. Your life can be regular or spicy, honey, just be aware that sometimes when you least expect it, the mustard comes off the hot dog. Don't just keep eating the same dog and moving on. Expand your horizon, exercise your balls, and give Smack My Ass and Call Me Sally a try. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, there's the Great American Spice Company, Smack My Ass and Call Me Sally, the slap heard around the world. It's 700,000 Scoville units. Ooh. I think I'll just, you know. I can't eat spicy foods anymore. No, if I don't want to go back and wind up with candid camera up my butt. Thank you, Kirill. And many smacks to your ass, Sally. All right. More stories? Sure. Let's keep going here before I completely lose my mind. Tura Bregianu has arrived. We are setting the stage, draping it with various cuts of bacon, and it will be a fine prosciutto-fueled evening. Check your programs for any changes. I believe the second oboist has been replaced by someone from the institution. Just don't put your fingers too close to their mouths. This is going to be a don't put your fingers too close to their mouths kind of day, isn't it? Yeah, I'm not doing coffee today, by the way. Did it yesterday with the immersion blender and all that other stuff. Today's just tea. I didn't even put anything in the tea. It's just plain iced tea. It's boring. It's real boring. I need to put something exciting in there. Ooh, I know. The wild cherry Torani syrup. Okay, I'm going to go get the wild cherry Torani syrup while you enjoy this story.
There are 9 rooms, and the cellar where no one goes, except... I cannot remember. I have taken to counting my steps. I can manage only 6 before resting. I enter a room full of potted plants, orchids, indoor palms. The colonel is here, his back to me. Good day, colonel, I venture. But he turns and bears a look of such savagery that my knees give way in terror. As the blow descends, I realize that it is I, Dr. Black, whose body will go down to the cellar, killed by Colonel Mustard, with the lead piping, in the conservatory.
Oh. No, it's not Colonel Mustard. No! Oh, you lie. Thank you, Tora, for revealing the truth. You know, we have a bunch of conference rooms at work, and I suggested that they be named after various rooms in Clue. And then we would have a murder in one each week. Not a real, well, could be, no. And then we'd decorate each conference room as per the theme. Like the ballroom would have a bunch of balls around the wall. No kitchen, though, because the kitchen would be, you know, the kitchen. We have a kitchen on the second floor, but it's big. It's a break room, actually. And, yeah, that's just... What? It was a good idea. They wound up naming things like the Elven Room. So on Elvis's birthday, I covered up E-N with I-S, so it was Elvis Room. You know, for Elvis. Well, what? Oh, Serendipity Haven is here now. I should cut out the blither for a week. I keep saying that. I don't ever... Well, I did it once, and y'all were like, oh, where's the blither? Right. No blither, no. Just Serendipity Haven, right here.
My first paid employment was a weekend job at Bologna's Ice Cream and Burgers, a family-run establishment on the seafront. It wasn't particularly glamorous. I was expected to wipe down tables and generally keep the place looking clean and tidy. Anxious to impress, I hit upon the idea of displaying everything behind the counter in neat alphabetical order. That was to be my undoing. First customer of the day. Two cornets with chocolate sauce and sprinkles. With a flourish, Mr. Bologna produced the ices, then reached behind for the sauce. French mustard with sprinkles was not a success.
My favorite. What? Oh no, that's chocolate sauce. Ugh, I wanted mustard ice. Have you ever tried mustard ice? Oh my god. Do it. Do it. That's your assignment for the day. It's Sunday. You have a whole day to recover. Thank you, Serendipity. Speaking of serendipity and luck and just plain blind happiness and happenstance. I like happenstance. Happenstance is good because it has happy and stance in it. And you're standing happy, and then you get hit by the brick of opportunity. The brick of opportunity is, of course, a symbol for Muncie. Now, let's see. Muncie had a story in Drabblecast. I had one. Stephen the Nuclear Man. Anyone else? Anyone else is here? Yes? No? Maybe? Although it was produced by someone else that, you know, J.E. something. J.E. Ignatius or whatever? They did a great job, such a great job of it on Dribblecast that Norm went, ah, I shall pluck this grape from the vine and taste it. Oh, so succulent and moist. Whereas the stories that I do on my own suck. But the ones that people put some effort or life or give a damn about, oh, man, it's so cool. It's a good feeling. Give the Dribblecast try. I think it's dribblecast.org. It's in my links. It's in the links there on the side and the top and the dribble. Here's Muncie.
Greetings, little birds. Muncie here with an instructive and entertaining story to both thrill you and leave you with something to think about. Except without the thrill, it's not exactly action-packed. And you won't likely think about anything. It's not that instructive. Or entertaining. Huh. I am terrible. How about a sandwich recipe? How to Make a Perfect Sandwich by Christopher Monroe. The perfect sandwich isn't difficult to make. Bread, cheeses, meat of your choice, the ingredients will vary. The important bit is, while eating, understanding your tiny place in an enormous, uncaring universe and, instead of fearing that realization, embracing it as liberating. After all, if your place in the cosmos is essentially meaningless, you needn't worry about petty problems and are free to focus on life's small pleasures. Like a good sandwich, for example. And mustard. Mustard's also important. So there you have it! The perfect sandwich. Theoretically easy, practically nearly impossible. I hope you one day manage to eat one. Broken Escalator still available via patiobooks.com and in most ebook stores. Tweets at Munzee Munzee. I don't tweet much about sandwiches, though. Maybe I should start? Wow! I'm free associating more than usual today. I ought to stop recording.
Well, it's good that you're free associating. If you were charging for your associating, we'd all go bankrupt. You and your sandwich tweets. Is this going to be a sandwich tweet week? Like Shark Week, only sandwiches and tweeting? And well, thank you for making us think about that, Muncie. Enjoy every sandwich is what Warren Zevon said. Have you enjoyed every sandwich? Have you? You can answer that later. One person that will answer to the crimes of bad sandwiches is the Archangel of Awesome. Wait, Archangel of Awesome and Michael Moorman. Huh? Oh, he is the Archangel of Awesome. Michael Moorman. Did I do that right? I don't know. Why did you attach it in a doc file? Now I gotta open it up. Folks, when you send in the story, send them in as a text. As part of your, you know, email. It's not that hard. Alright, hold on. I need to do this. And move that around. And move this. And page is too wide. Ah! I know. You should hide and edit this out. But no. I want you to know what I go through to get this produced. You know, send in this. And I'm not, you know, saying that the story isn't good. But really, the text of the story can go in the body of an email message. That's what email originally was. Text. And then we added all this multimedia and attachments and dancing monkeys and stuff. Smileys. Just put the text in there. You don't need to attach anything. Attachments drive the antivirus program nuts.
Oh, there may be something in there. Let's check it for 10 billion attempts to take over.
And then 5 minutes later, it's like, yeah, this thing's okay. And then half the file is gone. It's in quarantine. Just send the text. That's all you gotta do. Who said? Oh, yeah, Mitchell. Here's his story. You've got to believe me. I found the prophecy of the sandwich apocalypse. It states that on March 10, 2029, God will make an Earth sandwich. The first sign of the sandwich apocalypse will be the raining of mustard from the heavens in a massive wave, much like the squirting of a mustard bottle. Then, pickles will fall upon the earth, smashing every major city. Then a rain of ketchup will fall upon the earth, much like the aforementioned mustard wave. After that, the world will be eaten by God. Wait a sec. Where's that rain of mustard coming from? Where is that rain of mustard coming from? It's raining today. The Norman number doesn't say Norman number of mustard. Oh, thank you, Mitchell. Norman, Gene Norman. He is so good. His weather forecasts are so good. It doesn't matter if you live in the area that he covers or not. You'll want to follow them. He's that good. Really. Once we get a colony on the moon, they'll be following his forecasts. Yeah. More new people. We're just getting a whole bunch of rookies here. This is cool. We've got... She sent a doc file, but she also sent the text in the text, so I don't have to open the doc file. You see? Tammy cares about me. Future topic. Ooh. Future topic. Well. All right. So I've not mastered the audio recording bit yet. That's okay. Most people haven't. They still do it anyway. But I have a submission for this week. Oh, cool. I've attached the file and included the text below as well. You see? She cares. She looks forward to my podcast. Okay, maybe she's not perfect. Looking forward to this? This? Okay. All right. I'll just read the story. Joe thought he was styling in his mustard t-shirt all summer. I thought he was dorky with his awkward gait and buck teeth. I mean, who wears mustard? But that afternoon, his eyes caught mine and stirred the pit of my stomach. For years, he had been the goofy boy next door, and I'd never shared this adult awareness with anyone before. I went inside to catch my breath and check my look in the mirror. They left to get the pizza, and Joe did not survive the accident. Everyone mourns the boy. I ache for the man. That's so sad. I mean, was the pizza all right? Oh, no. No, I shouldn't ask such things. What was on the pizza? No. Just sit here and mourn for the man. Although, the goofy boy was kind of goofy. Imagine a red shirt and then the red stains of blood upon it. Oh, that's so cruel. Sort of like the Watchman button, only a shirt. Gotta think about that for a moment. Okay. Thank you, Tammy. Getting me wondering again. I should get a yellow shirt. Nah. I look silly in those. Dorky. More stories? Sure. We got a bunch this week. Here's Tom. He doesn't have any updates, but that doesn't mean that you should be like, oh, Tom. No. Even with updates, I think he's the keystone of this podcast. He's the heart and not the soul. Just the heart.
Hello, night people. Tom here, and tonight's story is called In a Library with a Wrench. If you live long enough, you'll have at least three careers. Take the Mustard Man, for instance, the actor famed for inquiring if your rolls was stocked with a jar of Grey Poupon. Before his commercial career, he had the dubious distinction for being the first actor on Broadway fully nude in Marat Sade. Later in life, he became the king of shattering the fourth wall in the BBC production of House of Cards, a poster child for Power Corrupts, whose chats with the audience drew them into complicity. You might very well think that. I couldn't possibly comment.
Thank you, Tom. Hold on. Where am I? Where's the... Oh, there. Whew. Trying to figure out where I am in the Audacity window. I can tell you where I am in the web window. I'm at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. We've got an About Me that tells you about me. About the podcast, a little diagram there of how this happens. favorites, some good storytelling podcasts, monkeys, links to everyone out there who have sent in their links. If you're not on there, let me know. And if, Tom says that, oh, you've done 100 in a row, we make you a monkey. Recording, for those of you, hint, those of you who I've had to read their story, and I've got a cat wanting to go outside to eat a birdie. SL, when I read these live on Wednesdays in Second Life. Yes, I actually admit that. And then the weekly challenge, how to participate in these. For those of you who are still sitting on the fence thinking, I can't do it. Dude, these people can, right? Then down the sidebar, the next topic, a search. How to subscribe via email. 8 people get emails whenever news stories come out because they have to know the instant it's up. You should too. Let's try to get that up to 100 subscribers. And don't just put people in at random. That'll piss them off. Then all sorts of other crap. if we got more... Yeah, we've got more stories. We still got more stories. We're still going through this. Got 1, 2, 3, 4, man, and we've still got the marathon. The big marathon by Sing. It's going to be just... Whoa! It's a good one. I know you're waiting for it, so I'm going to make you wait. Instead, right now, for your enjoyment, Dr. Fran.
Hello, 100 Word Stories listeners. I'm going to read a story on the theme of mustard. This is Dr. Fran. Anyone who thinks that this is a Bildungsroman can go suck ice. Treehouse by Dr. Fran Babcock. When I was young in the Bronx, my mom set pineapples on the windowsill to ripen. I placed dollhouse furniture in their tops, creating magical tree houses. I could spend hours amusing myself in this way. One day, my mom came into the kitchen while I was playing, pulling a jar of mustard out of the fridge. She looked at me, saying, I have to clean in here. Find someplace else to play. At that moment, the mustard jar crashed to the ground. She cried out, glaring, Why does everything you touch turn to shit? Thanks for listening.
Can go suck ice. Yes! All right, everybody, go suck ice. Ooh, we could make that a topic one day. I'm making a note. Go suck ice. Oh, yeah. Usually I say go to hell and hang yourself, but go suck ice. I like that. I like that. I'm going to... Hold on. I've got some ice in here right now. Ooh, no, wait. That's go suck ice tea. Thank you, Doc. And, she's going to be away for a while. She's writing some important stuff as opposed to us. We're just goofing off, you know. Actually, I don't write scholarly stuff. Did I pronounce that right? I have just as much trouble saying scholarly as I do Uriel Wheeler. There, I said it, Uriel Wheeler. Now that I'm saying Uriel Wheeler, I'm just going to move Steven the Nuclear Man up here and just do his story, okay? I know Lizzie is supposed to be next, but I can do them in any order I want. Who's to say that Steven the Nuclear Man didn't come in after Lizzie? And it was Lizzie that was late. Yeah. Yeah. That's the ticket.
Jesus paused for a quick breath, the crowd hanging on his every word. For lo, though the mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds, actually, the nasal voice ripped across the crowd, it's not. Obviously, mold spores are smaller. The speaker stood up, straightened his hair, and adjusted his inevitable bow tie. Even among plants, the mustard seed is far from the smallest. Jesus sighed. A brief waggle of fingers and Matthew, Judas, and John leapt onto the man and brought him to the ground, silencing him. And, Jesus said, God abhors time travelers. Got that? Totally hates them. rawhide crunching accompaniment by two dogs.
Yay! You know, I wish I had two dogs to chew on rawhide in the background. That would be cool. Instead, I have two cats who are watching birds outside. You want to go watch the marathon? You want to go watch the marathon? Ooh, that's going to be exciting, watching the marathon. Who the hell watches marathons? God. Thank you, Steven the Nuclear Man. We get trapped in our little subdivision here by the marathon for like half a day because the cops come and say, oh, we can't get out. You know, you're going to hit some. No one comes for hours. Then there's a big wave of people. It's like, yeah, okay, I can understand. You don't want us to drive through them. But I remember years ago when I was working at EV1, and I was borrowing my wife's truck on Sundays to get to work, and they were like, no, you can't get through. I was stuck on a Sunday shift. So eventually I got off the Sunday shift, but that just sucked. It's like I had to walk to work, and they were like, why are you late? Well, I walked. Why'd you walk? Well, because of the marathon. Why couldn't you get out? It's like, fuck you. Sorry. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. We're trying to keep it clean. Okay, maybe not. They deserve that anyway. What? Oh, another story? Sure. Right. Now we're going to play Lizzie. Hey, I've just... God abhors time travelers.
Hello, everyone. My story for the week is called Lunacy and the Song. The song is playing in the background, the distorted sounds of a mean man. Just don't look at the queen, shout out something, something obscene, and everyone looked and yelled and built a boat to sail up the road. Madam, madam, go get a man, but not one like Pam's old dirty brother with a 10-bob note up his nose. Hold that bottle and squeeze it out of your glaring eyes. The clothes have a tone, a stain or a medal. A cheap man from a song is playing the Beatles in the background, playing softly from a hole. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
From a hole. From a hole! Thank you, Lizzie Goodcough. Since she's not promoting all the links that she's out, I say you follow her on Twitter, you go to her blog, you... She's got other sites. You have a Tumblr? Flickr? Something? She's got all that there. The link is in the show notes. Yeah, that's something else that's up there on the site. Many, many links this week, because there are many, many people this week. So many people. You know who else is back? Chivalry Bean. Otherwise known as... No. I can't do it justice. I can't. I really can't. Only he can do it right. Here he is. Space Turtle.
Space Turtle! Justin Lemaster here from thespaceturtle.com, where I probably haven't made a blog in months. This week's topic, mustard. I've got a story number two of my... stories based on the game Deus Ex Human Revolution. It's a couple terms here. Hengsha is a Chinese city. It's multi-level. You should look it up. It's a pretty cool looking city. And augmentation, augs. I use that word. It's in the game. It's just like a robotic arm or whatnot. I was sitting in this food shop in Lower Hengsha, putting mustard on a hot dog, when I thought I was gonna die. I'd seen some scary gangers loaded with hogs. Then this guy stepped up and he was like, almost totally a robot. His threads were sweet. And if he met a group of those hogged up gang guys in an alley, I'd bet on this dude. I wonder if he's even human anymore. Or if he's just a machine. I mean, he ordered dim sum, so that's normal. Human, right? Still, scared the hell out of me.
I'd be scared the hell out of, too, if I saw dim sum. It's been a while. I used to get it all the time downtown. No, what? Huh? What? Oh, thank you. Justin, space turtle. I feel like we're being brought along in a game. That's kind of cool. Isn't it? No? I think it is. But what's even cooler? Bonchance and Sevi! That's right, collaborating again. No, they're not collaborating with the enemy. They're collaborating with each other. Although, what if they were enemies? No, they couldn't possibly be. Not them. Don't speak of that. That's weird. I need to trim the mustache again. I'm looking kind of scraggly.
Crab Mariners, 100 word challenge. This week's challenge word is mustard. These are collaborative works between Severina Halestar, Bonchance Longfall. Mustard. Murderer. He is the kindest man I know. He wouldn't speak a word out of turn about anyone or anything. He has impeccable posture. As ex-military, he is a stickler for proper posture. Sit up straight, boy, he would bellow. Would you like to know what I think made him do it? He couldn't let go of how he was wrongfully accused of that murder by the other boarders. Those people didn't have a clue. Imagine condemning poor Colonel Mustard of cold-blooded murder with a pipe wrench of all things. Now he has actually done it. Yes, I blame them. The smallest seed. Peppy had a plan. He'd devised an innovation to make some extra scratch. That creative think tank with the chairman fueled his passion. He scored seeds from a guy named Matt and set out to cultivate his crop. Peppy, Peppy, quite contrary, how does your garden grow? He woofed as he trekked to his harvest. Peppy panicked. The sprouts didn't look right. He analyzed the pictures of baby crops of Mary Jane. An epiphany emerged. These are mustard seeds. When confronted, the merchant just gave him a sermon about faith and mustard seeds. So small, yet able to move mountains.
Thank you, Bonchance and Sevi. I could use a sermon about faith right now. But I'll get it later. I mean, where am I going to get a sermon on faith on a Sunday morning, right? Probably get one from Red Goddess. Nope, we're going to get a sermon on what Lola is up to. It's the thrilling adventures of Lola. And I'm going to read it. Yes, me. Because, you know, Relish. Is he Relish again? I've seen him pop on as Relish. Maybe, I don't know. It's hard to keep track of. Lola, will you ever win? Lola loves buttery soul food. She will never understand how women subject themselves to diets. She sure as hell isn't substituting mustard for mayo. She has enough do's and don'ts in life. She tries to keep her curves in place, but if there is some chocolate, she ain't holding back. Her admirer has picked up on that and knows just the right food to cook for her. Even when he's away, he spoils her with desserts and other delicacies that are irresistible. Yeah, rich buttery food, mayo over mustard, and with every bite she likes him more for loving her as she is. We love you just the way you are, too, Red Goddess. Thank you. Although, I don't like mayonnaise. I really don't. Although, okay, when I was downtown, there was Howdy Burger. And Howdy Burger had this really spicy mayonnaise. Oh, it was so good to dip fries in. Now I have to avoid the spicy food, slightly spicy foods, okay. But when it's hot for hot's sake, yeah. That, You don't want to know. What you do want to know is what Danny has been up to. He says this isn't one of his better entries, but I disagree. This will have you thinking. Maybe in 30 years the movies today will be classics, but I highly doubt it.
Hello, hello, Danny Dwyer, back from a long absence, finally, with Weekly Challenge 351, Mustard. What? No mustard? Was my favorite line from the 1979 Canadian movie called Meatballs, starring Bill Murray. Actor Peter Hume played the character The Stomach and uttered that famous mustard line. What a cocky statement. Considering The Stomach suffered a humiliating loss to the character of Fink, played simplistically by Keith Knight. Keith was working in Summerstock when he was signed for his first movie role in Meatballs. During the filming of the hot dog eating contest in that movie, Keith ate more than 100 hot dogs without mustard. Fink beat The Stomach, whose performance at hot dog eating simply did not cut the mustard.
Aww, are you the first one to say cut the mustard? It took 51 minutes for that. You people are slacking. Thank you, Danny. And thank you for taking care of that obvious missing phrase. We needed it. I thought it was going to be all just cut the mustard, cut the mustard, cut the... Folks were avoiding it. But you went there. You are the only one brave enough. You win the silver mustard chalice. Although silver mustard makes you wonder, why is it that color? Speaking of people who you wonder why they're that color, Norville Joe is over there in the corner turning slightly green. It may be this outbreak of the flu. How many of you have the flu? I think it's weird that, you know, we get the most story response when a killer flu outbreak is out there. I think people are hiding in their homes and they're looking for things to do and they're like, you know, you could be on the internet and, you know, learn all sorts of stuff at Khan Academy or the Smithsonian Institution, where I could watch 500 channels of TV and see incredible, amazing things going on around the world, or I could just write a story. Well, that's what Norville Joe did. Don't let him cough on you.
Hello, this is Philip Norville Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press and of The Price of Friendship, available at podiobooks.com. The Price of Friendship Summer Surprise is also available. This is my entry for the weekly challenge number 351, with a prompt of mustard. Here are my stories. The company crouched close to the opening in the passageway floor. Cindy, the princess, sat in the dwarven throne, her hands and feet tied. Owen thought it would be best to have Sharika drop them through the floor as they had passed through the earth back at the farmer's cottage. Sharika explained they would be left vulnerable for a potentially fatal few seconds. On a silent count of three, all except for Sharika dropped through the hole to confront the goblin guards. With a puff of smoke and the scent of sulfur and mustard, the room filled with goblin warriors. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, next story. My brother-in-law was over the other day for a family barbecue. I don't know where my sister found the guy or what she sees in him. He'll argue about the time of day or if the grass is really green. He said he wanted a mustard dog. I put some mustard on a hot dog and gave it to him. He said, "No, you need sausage for a good mustard dog. I know you've got them. I can smell sausage and mustard." I told him that wasn't a mustard dog he was smelling. That was my wiener dog. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Boom, 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 boom.
Thank you, Norville Joe. Do you have any stories left? Let me check. Podcast. Drag and drop. Oh, yeah! We've got the big one. We've been holding it back all this time. I know you've been waiting for it. He's been sending me multiple edits of this, trying to get it just right so that you will have the maximum enjoying experience. So, here it is. Sing, Chris Mooney, sing the, and his epic tale, The Goddess of Mustard.
Loving the Goddess of Mustard. She loved mustard. Not that gloop grandkids squirt up walls, courting summary execution. She pined for pungent stuff in sweet pots from ye old oaken vat, whose floating crust the once-upon-a-time muscadier's apprentice probed with a paddle. If it broke and sank, he'd say, "This cart's the mustard, not Sierra." At snack time, she'd slither ham and tomato, then bite into her cracker lathered, not with any Betty bought a bit of bitter butter, no. Long ago, she had sold her soul to the devil's kitchen for a wicked spoonful of hit-the-sour-spot gold standard mustard. Born of ancient stonemasons and kitchen goddesses, the mustard goddess lived on Mason's Parade with the jolly good colonel, her devoted protector partner. Both practiced the precepts. Thou shalt not waste time, money, and certainly not mustard. Arcane wisdom put sugar into vases and roses bloomed long. Spinach and bananas wrapped in newsprint stopped sweating in the fridge. Leftovers paid it forward to tomorrow's remix lunch. The thrift goddess had maintained everything with deep regard for its intrinsic and sentimental value, while the good colonel quietly acquired new items of innovation. She included all in her dragon treasure hoard. Meanwhile, the OJ decanter and skim milk jug clinked and chatted about budgetary constraints, while the TV watched its own portable news broadcast and midday movie as she multitasked, polishing life's Laminex benchtops. Around her, gadgets whirred and stirred. A timer sang. The dishwasher slurped as she programmed the time-traveling microwave to cook the future in 60 seconds. It all made sense in a squeaky clean universe. Ironically, she was at home with kitchen technology, although the colonel's computer and gregarious online life she viewed with a wary eye. "You're wasting time," she would say. The fact is, she worked hard in her micro world, ready to plan for the proper entertainment of guests. This made sense. A friend was someone sitting before you, talking in the flesh, not somewhere down the internet superhighway. As the angel of order, she welcomed visitors to stay in their granny flat. Out there, disorder could be accommodated safely with old plates, cups, and used cutlery. She provided a tray of fine teas, Earl Grey blue flower, oolong lychee, and her favourite, Prospera tea. She thought she had everything covered. That was until the unexpected return of the messy sun. The prodigal had roughed it with holly men in the land of tea plantations, seen big, stinking urban slums, and was on speaking terms with germs and chaos. He dumped his disheveled kit and road-bitten guitar. Instinctively, he ignored the satellite kitchenette and launched a midnight guerrilla raid on the mothership pantry. Next morning, the mustard goddess found her kitchen in shambles. This opened a unique chapter in the Mason's Parade annals, related occasionally at dinner with ready wit by the colonel, or when dressed penguin-like in dinner suit with cummerbund as Grand Poobah at his Masonic meeting. To express this devotion at the altar of the mustard goddess, the son in question had wolfed down leftover pizza, pulled off both the drumsticks from tomorrow's chicken salad, broke off some hunks of expensive cheese, added olives, pickles, thick hackings from the ham bone, and cracked the seal on three of her premium mustard jars for variety. It was a fulfilling feast, especially leaving the refrigerator items such as pickle and mustard jars out, ringing his empty plate of scraps, rind and bones like sentinels of a mother's love. This was the unconscious message he was sending her. As psychologists tell mothers with challenging children, raiding the refrigerator is an archetypal act. Its rites of passage importance cannot be understated. It has to do with bonding. The mother is the refrigerator. The needy child must feel he has access to his parent at any moment. Thus, midnight snacking, especially on expensive, sacred, hands-off taboo foods such as special cake, ice cream, or if in savoury need, sausage or cheeses with pickles and, of course, mustard, is the child crying to be fed at the breast. Leaving a visible mess behind is an act of highest love for her. Unfortunately, the mustard goddess saw red. The open olive, pickle and mustard jars around his plate were not like broken columns of a temple surrounding a sacramental feast. It was mess and mayhem. After clearing up, she went to complain but found him gone. She waited to pounce all day, but he didn't return until midnight again that night, when he once more paid homage to the mustard goddess, raiding her fridge a second time, leaving evidence of his love as before. Sleeping late in the flat, it was convenient to slip away unseen by the side gate for the day. She had had enough and waited up on the third night, but he didn't come. She knocked on his door, and after there was no answer, she went in only to find the bed unmade, the cushions and dirty washing willy-nilly. His note was on the table. "Dear Mum, happy birthday. Gone for a music festival. Back Monday. By the way, got you a present." Indeed, he had bought her a gift hamper of selected mustards, and beside it, with the mustard dispenser from the cupboard, he had squirted a yellow smiley across the benchtop and lovingly signed his name.
Thank you, Sing. You have left a taste in our mouths, even better than anything any mustard could. Delightful. One more story as we pass the hour mark. No, we don't have to do a station identification. We're not a station. And podcasting, is it really so hard? I don't think so. Drag and drop and listen and subscribe and I don't think it's a failure of the medium. I think it's a failure of those who present their podcasts to the world and don't tell people how to do it. You point, you click, you get it in there. It's like, duh, how do I subscribe? Duh, how do I subscribe? Teach them. Although, me, I don't. If, you know, why would I ever tell people that, you know, you can subscribe via the iTunes with the link, you can subscribe via this, you can get email posts, you can go to the website and click. No. That would be far too easy. What? Oh, I know, I'm trying to avoid playing the Planet Z story, but alright, here it goes.
Fred's been going around at night, squirting mustard in people's faces. He's been doing this for weeks, until the cops set a trap and finally caught him. He called me for bail money. You know how vampires hate garlic, and Frankenstein hates fire? Said Fred. It's actually Frankenstein's monster. Well, turns out that zombies hate mustard, said Fred. I need to get out of here before the zombies take over. I drove downtown to bail him out, but he'd already hung himself in his cell. Monster was written on the wall in ketchup. Deadly.
Thank you to everyone who was a part of the weekly challenge this week on the 100 Word Stories podcast. You can go to the website at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com for links to the author's websites, the text of the stories, an archive of shows, social network sharing options, and a whole bunch of other stuff you won't bother with anyway. Until next week, when the topic will be Bird. This is Lawrence Simon saying thank you for listening, and, as always, keep it brief.